for home fully takes possession of one's soul. The hour when, conjured up by a fevered imagination, all those hills, forests, and interminable steps that lie between oneself and all that life holds dear rise threateningly in their measureless and unconquered distance. All so far away and so utterly lost, now beckoning, now seeming to fade from sight, and flickering in the dim distance like the glimmer of a dying hope. The suppressed yet ever-present grief, buried deeply in the recesses of one's heart, now boldly raises its ill-omened head, and amid the universal stillness and darkness plainly whispers the terrible words, "Forever in this grave, forever." A gentle whining, coming from the flat roof through the chimney, reached my ears, and roused me from my stupor. It was my intelligent friend, my faithful dog, who, chilled at his post, was asking what troubled me, and why, when the cold was so severe, I did not light the fire. I rose, conscious that I was playing a losing game in this struggle with silence and darkness, and decided to have recourse to the means at hand, the spirit of the yurt, fire. In winter the yakut never allows his fire to go out, and has, therefore, no way of closing the chimney. We had contrived some rude appliances so that our chimney could be closed from the outside, but, in order to do so, it was necessary to climb up on the flat roof of the yurt. I went up onto the roof by means of steps, which had been cut in the snow that protected the yurt. Our dwelling stood on the outer edge of the settlement. Generally from the roof we could see the narrow valley and the hills that enclosed it, as well as the fires of the yurts of exiled Tartars and of those occupied by the descendants of Russian settlers, who in the course of years had become yakut. Now all was enveloped in a cold gray, impenetrable mist, which hung immovable, condensed by a cold of 40 degrees, and pressing the silent earth with increasing weight. Everywhere, a dull gray expanse of fog met the eye, save where high overhead twinkled a solitary star, piercing the cold shroud with its sharp rays. Around, all was still. The high bank of the river, the miserable yurts of the settlement, the small church, the smooth and snowy valley, the dark strip of forest, all became merged in this shoreless sea of fog. The roof of the yurt, with its rude clay chimney, where I was standing, with the dog crouching at my feet, seemed like an island in an illimitable gray ocean. All was cold, bleak, and still. The night was the embodiment of terror, constrained and watchful, like one who strives to hide himself. The dog whined gently and pitifully, evidently in terror of the benumbing frost. Crouching at my feet and plaintively stretching out his sharp nose and pricking up his ears, he gazed intently into the thick, gathering dusk. Suddenly, he growled. I listened. At first, I could distinguish nothing. Then, in that strained silence, a sound was heard, another and still another, as of a horse galloping far away on the meadows. Thinking of the lonely rider, who, judging by the sound, was as yet some 2 or 3 miles away from the hamlet, I hastily ran down from the roof and entered the yurt. An unprotected face, exposed to the air, might result in a frostbitten nose or cheek. The dog, giving one loud and hasty bark in the direction of the galloping, followed me. Soon in the wide, open mouth of the fireplace, in the middle of the yurt, a bright fire of chips was lighted. I added to it some dry logs of pitchy birch, and in a few moments my dwelling was totally changed. Now the silent yurt was filled with noise and talking. The fire, with 100 tongues, played among the logs, enveloping them, jumping, snarling, hissing, and snapping. Something bright and living, wide awake and talkative, filled the yurt, peeping into all its nooks and corners. When at times the crackling of the flame ceased, I could hear the hot sparks fly up the short, straight chimney, snapping in the frosty air. But soon the fire renewed its play with redoubled energy, while frequent and loud reports like pistol shots echoed through the yurt. Now that all around me was moving, talking, bustling, and dancing, I did not feel as lonely as before. The ice windows through which, but one moment before, the frosty night had peered now sparkled like gems reflecting the flames. I comforted myself by thinking that my yurt alone, like a small volcano in the midst of this cold, dreary night, was pouring out a torrent of fiery sparks, flickering spasmodically in the air, amidst volumes of white smoke.